Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. This half hour, we're going to take your calls on 13 53 53. Text messages 0419 767 272. God bless rugby league. God bless the NRL. It is the code that just keeps on giving. It is the greatest reality show on the planet.
It's a soap opera.
It is a soap opera. And part playing one a very key role in that soap opera is Paul Kent from the Daily Telegraph.
We're storytellers.
Oh, dear. What's happening at the Tigers? Well, there's something more to it, isn't
where
there?
Do we start?
Is it purely a money situation?
It's not purely money. It's just that the coach and the captain don't always see eye to eye. And the club just made a decision. If we're going to move forward, we've just got to bite the bullet, essentially. The fact that Robbie's salary goes to about $1 million a year next year, and that's a lot of money to take up in your salary cap in one player, and they just don't have the money there. And Marina Go spoke about 6 weeks ago. She's talking to Brent Reed at The Australian, and she said to him that it'll take 3 years to fix the mess that they've inherited in the salary cap. Now, the reason I'll do that is because there's just no room there at the moment. The only way the Tigers could get out of that. Now, bear in mind, this is a club that's currently running last. Now, if you're running last and you haven't got room in your salary cap for the next 3 years...
You're in trouble, aren't you?
...to buy players, you're in a lot of trouble. Yeah. So the only way the club can break out of that is to actually try and move a couple of players on, get them out of the club, and this is part of the problem that's got them in the first place, is that they're paying salaries at players at other clubs, but they need to just create some room in the salary cap so they can just reinvigorate the roster a little bit, freshen it up, and hopefully make a dent. And that's what they've decided to do. It's a big, big risk because at the end of the day, if Robbie Farah digs in and says, you know what, I'm just going to stick around and play reserve grade if that's where you put me, or I'm going to stay here at the club and do my best to try and continue playing NRL, he still takes up $1 million out of the salary cap.
Which Robbie Farah is quite entitled to do with 2 years remaining on that contract, although that would be a disgrace to see him running around in reserve grade. The whole fact of the matter is there's a lot to be played out here because we're talking such big money. We've got lots of queries like just saying, you know, some people say, well, we'll pick up Robbie Farah at our club for $100,000 and then they can pay the rest. It can't happen like that unless the West Tigers tick off on it, and they're not going to tick off on that sort of a deal. Of copping $100,000 and paying the other $900,000. So, you know, Robbie's doing what I think anyone would do in his predicament. He's standing on his digs and hopeful for a very good outcome somewhere.
Can I ask you, mate, we were talking or alluding to, and I think you said it, TK, about the lack of foresight, the lack of planning sometimes. Naive to say that these clubs aren't planning for the future, but that living in the moment, and these back-ended contracts that they're always going to cause trouble 3 to 4 years down the track. Is that the reality? Does the game need to sort of set in stone further future planning?
That the NRL has already moved to get rid of back-ended contracts. And what that basically means for people who don't understand what that is, it's a balloon payment at the end of the contract. So you'll stay at a club, say Robbie Farah, it'll be averaged out, it's say $700,000 over 3 years, it'll be $2.1 million. But instead of getting $700,000, it'll be $200,000,
$400,000,
and
then... And then bang at the end.
And then the big 1.5 at the end. You know, it doesn't quite work in those terms, but that's the way theoretically it works. So the NRL has stepped in to stop those sorts of things. But the problem is, Slats, and this is the problem in every sport, no matter where you go in the world, is football knowledge or knowledge of your sport. And what the Tigers are guilty of, and not this current administration, you can forgive them because they've inherited this, but what the Tigers are guilty of is having people in key positions who have not properly valued the market. So they've paid overs for some players, which has then created a problem at the club, which means that other players have had to try and clear out of the salary cap, and they've moved them onto other clubs. And the Sharks were famous. They had three or four Tigers players, all being still paid by the Tigers at one point there. So it's a tough one, but it comes down to if you know your football and you know your job, you can do that. You look at what Penrith have done. Penrith have done a very good job. And when Ivan Cleary walked into Penrith, and two of the first decisions he made, but two of the biggest were was he sacked Luke Lewis and he sacked Michael Jennings. And Penrith players and Penrith fans were up in arms saying, hang on, they're two of our best players. And Ivan Cleary said, yeah, they are. This isn't a reflection on their talent. This is a reflection on how much they are on our cap and that we can't afford to carry that on the cap. And I was talking to somebody yesterday and he said, look, he said, if you've got a player here and you're paying him $100,000 a year and he's going out and he's doing his job, you say, he's great value. If you've got the same player doing the same job, but he's on $250,000 on the cap, it's a poor buy.
He's getting paid overs.
Yeah, so it's all about what you spend on the cap. And if you can get players that, yeah, as I wrote today, if you're paying him $200,000 and you're getting $210,000 value out of him, it's a good purchase. It's a good deal for the club. If it's $200,000 and you're only getting $190,000 out of him, well, it's a bad deal.
Yep. And the whole fact of the matter is Ivan could only make those decisions at Penrith because he had the rock-solid support of the Supremos. And that's the only reason.
And they knew their footy as well, though,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. And that's the only he could make those. So at this stage, Jason Taylor has the rock-solid support of that current board. Yes. He's just got to hope they stay there for a while.
Well, one thing I will say, though, the board has recognised that what they've been doing, if Jason Taylor came in and continued doing what the club has been doing for however many years, they will continue to sit down near the bottom of the table. They've recognised that something needed to change. And this is a big, bold step to get rid of the captain, the current New South Wales. He's their best player in their side. It's a big, bold step. But it could all backfire on them. Yep. This time next year, we'll know the answer.
Well, he could still be there this time next year. And that could have a worse effect on the club.
And the other side of it is, if he's not fitting in or for whatever reason, is it time to manage it? Is it time to come to him and offer him a deal where a lot of clubs do this. A lot of clubs will pay players downgraded payments, but then give them the pat on the back and say, mate, you've been a great club servant, Dan, and when you retire, we'll put you on as a Jersey fleet coach and we'll pay you $250,000 to coach that side. And so you get your money another way. The NRL, they do check into those things. They do watch over those things. But there are some clubs that have got...
He deserves it. He deserves plenty of respect, Robbie.
All right, mate. We'll stay with this topic because we've got calls on it, if you don't mind. I want to ask about Brad Arthur, if you know any more to what we're reading this morning. G'day, Greg.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Good.
Look, I'll mention three names here. Tim Sheens, Benji Marshall, Mick Potter. And there's one name, one common denominator. I think that Mick Potter and Jason Taylor are two peas in the pod. They're both kind of quietish guys that go about their business in a good and decent way. But Mick Potter didn't have what Jason Taylor had, and that's ultimate power. Like I said to I think it was Ben earlier, that a fruit salad will last in the fridge for a week, a fruit salad on the bench will last for the day, but a fruit salad in the fridge won't last if there's a piece of rotten fruit in the middle. If you've got a disruptive, disobedient, and someone who's going to rock the boat in your organisation, whatever it may be, rugby league, soccer, boxing, wherever, an athlete in your gym that's playing up, the best thing is to do is to probably move that athlete on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg is describing Robbie Farah as a rotten piece of fruit here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big call unless you're absolutely inside those walls.
Yeah. Well, look, there's a bit of a whisper around there. I wouldn't quite describe it so strongly, but
that's right.
He doesn't. Part of the problem is not so much Robbie's personality. It's just on the football field. There are times that Jason Taylor, when they do video, will say, hang on, guys, why didn't we go here? Why didn't we go right here?
Robbie said no.
Yeah.
He's the boss.
We were calling the ball, and Robbie went the other way. And that has been a frustration and for the club. That's something that contributed to this decision.
That was a Luke Lewis problem.
Yes, it was.
That was a Luke Lewis problem at Penrith. Hello, Sean.
How are you, guys?
Good, thank you.
Mate, the shame was having the Robbie Farah. The guys are the Tigers and at rugby league. But do you think players are now treating ministry more like matters as opposed to players? Like, what I mean is, like, if you're a finance minister, you still have the highest asset to make more money to your club. If Robbie Farah is going to spend the most money to free that money to spend more money elsewhere, then...
Sean, with your phone on speaker, can you help Slats there?
No, I didn't get the drift.
So we'll try and re-establish that if we can, because it was just so I couldn't understand it.
Oh, I couldn't understand. Sorry.
Quickly, mate, Brad Arthur. Do you know much?
No, I don't know a thing. What are you talking about?
Fairfax this morning, the Herald carrying a story. There's a contract dispute between Brad Arthur and the Parramatta club.
That's continued at Parramatta. That happens with everybody at Parramatta.
There's no one.
I wouldn't be concerned.
That's true. There's no one not in contract dispute. Can you believe it's ultimately though, we think what Kieran Foran sort of has done. He's done a great thing, staying aligned, I suppose. But if Arthur walks, then
exactly,
it could be really fast.
That was a big part of it, and Brad Arthur. He knew when Kieran Foran was coming to the club that basically bought him time there. And that was actually sold to Parramatta as a reason to make sure Brad Arthur was happy, because there was disputes earlier in the season, if you remember, with Brad Arthur. Only a little bit of a whisper. Didn't get hardcore, but there was a bit of a talk there because there's been internal factions there at Parramatta. There are other people at the club who would like to be the head coach at Parramatta, and that's been ongoing for some time.
Yes.
The contract dispute adds to the agitation at the club, and that's just what Parramatta's just riddled with at the moment. They'll get through it. I don't think that this will be a problem. They'll get through it.
Yep.
But it's just, again, someone's had a chance to have a little bit of a niggle at him. We'll put this out there, cause a few problems, just cause him some angst. But I don't think he's going anywhere, Brad Arthur. Brad Arthur knows the opportunity he's got at Parramatta. He sees that as a club that he can rebuild. Mm. He sees that as a club that's got a big opportunity to do that. Unfortunately, when or if they ever get the front office right, the fish rots from the head.
Mm.
And Parramatta are taking a long time to realise that. They always think it's someone else's problem, which is generally the first sign of people not up to the job. Mm.
G'day, Jimmy.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Good.
One quick one. Sorry to hear about Alan Clarkson. He was a really nice man. I got to meet him a couple of times, and was sorry to hear that he passed away.
Absolutely.
I was talking to a mate last night. I haven't been keeping up to things. I hear, is it true that 12 teams are considering breaking away?
That's
true.
That's a long one. Look, what's happened
I'll bet against it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll break away. What's happened is the NRL's gone and signed a new TV rights deal, which takes place in 2018 for the first season for the 5 years. And the clubs are unhappy with the amount of money they're receiving in grant money from the NRL. Now, when the last deal went up, the clubs, I think, quite rightly point out that the players got richer, the NRL got richer, and the clubs got poorer. And the clubs are saying that everybody's money went up. The clubs didn't. It also went up. But the clubs right now only get $500,000 grant from the NRL above what they get in they've got to pay out in the salary cap. And that's not enough money. The clubs believe they need about $2.5 million to actually begin to make a profit and begin to be able to roll some money back into the business.
That's fair enough,
too. I think when you're selling the game for $1 billion, for every club to say, well, we just like $2.5 million a year.
I think that's fair. More
than fair. But the NRL's resisting. So what's happened is because the NRL owns four clubs. Now, what the NRL did when it loaned money to the four clubs, being the Gold Coast, the Titans, West Tigers and St George Illawarra, it renegotiated their licence agreement, their participation agreement in the NRL. And so what they've done is they've slowly started to stagger them, because the NRL realised that as a block, if they all 16 at one point were coming off contract at the same time, and that gave the clubs collectively great power. So what the NRL did with those four clubs is stagger the deal. The other 12 clubs have now recognised this. And part of their talk to say to the NRL is, if you don't give us enough money in this next TV deal, we're not going to sign. So you'll have a TV deal that starts in 2018, but you'll only have four clubs who are signed up to play in it. You won't have us 12. And then everybody says, well, where do you go? They say, we'll go and start a rival league. We've got 12 clubs already. We can do that. They've got 12 good clubs, to be honest. I don't think it'll get to that. I think the more likely scenario is that once we get, I think the clubs will hold off for a long, long time, and we'll start to get to a stage where we'll get in a bit of a countdown where 2018 is not far away and the clubs still haven't signed. And with every day, there'll be more pressure on the NRL to sign them, because the NRL can't stop the competition, start a competition without them, and the clubs will have more power. But it's, at the end of the day, the other point of it is that the clubs will go broke first.
Mm.
So it's going to be a bit of a Mexican standoff here, and we'll have to wait and see who blinks, but the clubs are fairly militant at the moment about it all.
Here's one for Laurie Daly. What about Mick from Temora? Hi, if Robbie Farah stays at the Tigers and plays reserve grade, can he make the New South Wales Blues side? The answer is yes.
And not only is the answer yes, Laurie Day has already said yes.
That's right.
So Laurie's come out and said that. Let's remember, Michael Jennings was picked for New South Wales a couple of years back from the Windsor Wolves. So yeah. That's not a deterrent at all. It's unlikely, but they can pick him.
Kenty, we've had a few of these SMSs. I hope you don't mind me reading out. This caller on the breakaway sounds like a plant to me, so Kenty can talk it up a bit. Foxtel man Kenty. That's from Jaxo.
Yeah. That's,
it was not a plant. We can officially tell you that.
Yeah, look, that's something that I've just got to wear that because of where I work. Mm. I say what I think. I say what I know. A lot of conspiracy theorists out there, they say this and that, but the fact is I actually can get on the phone and ring people and talk to people who do know. So if I don't know myself, I can find out. They can't. Mm. So they just work on the theories. I was on 360 last week on Fox, and I was talking about the television deal, and I was actually going through my head as I was talking, thinking I need to pull up here because I don't know if my bosses will be too happy to actually with what I'm saying. But I finished what I was saying, and I sat there worried for the next rest of the show, just thinking, well, I hope I haven't said too much. Mm. But the reaction out in the public was that I was just a Murdoch mouthpiece.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's people don't hear what they want.
They hear it how they want to hear it.
Yeah, they do. Is the key there, TK. And people will just always have that opinion. That, see, when I was at the Telegraph and we're half owned by News Limited, if we wrote a positive story on rugby league, it was, well, you only write a positive story because you own half the game. That's the only reason you're writing a positive story. And the minute you wrote a negative story.
Okay, honest opinion on what Rupert said. He always considered AFL the premier card.
Oh, that's not right.
Well, correct.
That's not
so
right.
So you shouldn't. Yeah,
but you know what it was? That was a big up yours to the NRL.
That's right.
And that everybody has interpreted that way because that's what it was. Yeah. It was an up yours to the NRL, and it showed how filthy that the organisation is with the NRL.
A couple of hundred million just for a bad taste in the mouth. It was fantastic.
Well, it's interesting, but you know what the other point? A lot of people said that. Again, we go to conspiracy theories. A lot of people said there's up to Roy Masters said 500 million. Andrew Webster wrote $300 to $400 million was added onto the AFL deal, basically to shove it up the NRL. I think that's way over. You don't pay that much money to shove it up the NRL. But this is the concern. Was that a strategic investment into AFL to make AFL the biggest game? So in 10, 15, 20 years' time, when the TV rights are up at that time, as a broadcaster, you only need to pay for one sport because it has now dwarfed the other sport.
Yeah.
And that's the concern for the NRL. Mm. Not tomorrow, but it's 10, 15 years down the track with this new television deal because they've got so much money now to put in their investments.
Yeah. Very quickly, we're running out of time. Bundy, good morning.
How you going, fellas? Hey.
Good, Bundy.
Just on the Robbie Farah saga, a couple of things. How long has he been at the Tigers? Isn't there a...
13 years.
So there's relief there for players that
some are relief, but not enough, in my opinion.
And you're talking about paying overs and getting your money's worth. Because if he goes to another club, they're going to pay overs already because he's an Origin player, aren't they?
No. Look, a couple of things on that. The clubs do get a discount for long service players, but that doesn't apply to the player itself. That applies to the club. So
that applies to the cap.
That applies to the cap. So what will happen is they'll get a $200,000 or $300,000 discount, so they can, instead of spending 6.5, they can spend 6.7, 6.8. Now, what happens there is that doesn't go to Robbie Farah. That just goes into the general pool, and clubs generally use that for players coming through. And what was the other part of the question?
They'll pay overs the new club because it's an Origin player. But no, they won't pay overs. They'll pay unders.
They'll pay unders because what will happen is whatever, say, his total figure is $1 million, they'll come to some sort of agreement where West Tigers already know they're going to have to, whatever the balance is left that they can pay, West Tigers will have to pay that. So if they can only put up $200,000 for Robbie, West have got to pay the $800,000. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it works. Yeah. So whoever gets him will get him cheaply.
Paul, thank you, mate.
Pleasure.